Once again, I just want to say thank you to the praise band. I want to say hello to Steve, wherever he is. One thing y'all should know, I don't know if I should tell this or not, Michelle, but too late. Steve went swimming in the ocean this last week.
He's going to die.
Sorry. Like I said, I just want to, again, just say thank you to the praise band. I want to think these thoughts just a second, what we just sang. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. In the stillness, in the silence, he walks with me and he talks with me. He's a good, good father. He calls me deeper still, and he tells me I am his own. Wow. Wow. Isn't that good? Isn't that just so good? So we're here today talking about being disciples of that, the son of that good, good father. And some important questions that we've come to be asking ourselves, I hope, over and over. Who are you? And what are you doing here? And we've come to an answer about that here at CCC. We're disciples, and we make disciples. Who are you, and what are you doing here? And how do those answers, I want to ask you today, how do those answers become more than just church words, right? Because like so many things we've done over our lives in church, some things just become church words, not real life words. And so how do they become more than church words? Who are you? What are you doing here? I'm a disciple, and I make disciples. And the world outside of CCC here has a lot of different kind of answers. We read that in the newspaper, some of us today. Who am I? Well, it's this checklist. No, who am I? What am I doing here? And how can I know that? And one of the things you should know is different sources tell the same story in different ways. So, for instance, I don't know if you guys, I'm sort of want to take a break from the news, but I can't. It's like a car accident. You just can't take your eyes off of it, you know. But, you know, if you listen to the same story on CNN, or on Fox, you might not know you're listening to the same story, right? But let's go out of politics and go into sports. When the Spurs play the Mavericks, if you're a Mavericks fan, you might tell the story in a different way than Spurs fans do. And, you know, this is problematic, especially if you have Spurs fans and Maverick fans, and they're in the same family, right? So my mom is a Spurs fan. My sister is a Mavs fan. My mom had a different opinion of Tim Duncan than my sister, right? Now, if you don't know about the Spurs and the Mavericks, then go back to CNN and Fox. But the point is, different sources tell the same story in different ways. And so the issue is, who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to listen to be able to answer those questions, who am I and what am I doing here? And there's a battle going on about that. You know that. It's the battle for your heart. It's the battle for your loyalty. And Jesus fought that battle. We talked about that in class a couple of weeks ago. He fought that battle in the wilderness for 40 days. And Satan came and tempted him. And he's fighting a battle for his mind and for his heart. And there's a battle going on for your mind and your heart also. And the battle for your heart, I want to say, is fought in your mind. And so you're going to write in the blank there, mind, right? But I want you to write here also ears and eyes. Because what you see and what you hear goes into your mind, transforms your heart. So as there's formation of your hearts going on. You're becoming loyal to one thing or another, to one person or another, to one team or another. Spurs, Mavs, you know, whatever. By what you listen to and what you hear. And so it's important that we come to the garden alone, right? So he'll walk with us, talk with us. But Jesus fought the same battle. And in the wilderness, he won the battle. But at the end of that story in Luke, it says, but Satan left him. He left him for until an opportune time. Satan was coming back. The battle wasn't over. And everywhere Jesus went, there were multiple voices, multiple sources, talking, hearing, and they were bombarding him and contradicting themselves and confusing messages. And sometimes he would hear accusations. You're a demon. You're demon-possessed. And sometimes he would hear praise, but sometimes it was false praise. You're a king. Lead us to glory. And so Jesus is hearing these words over and over and over, and it's a battle. Who are you going to listen to? So my friend Jan Myers here and my sister Sally, both of these two ladies probably had more influence on one of our heroes, Sarah Fraser Miller. Jan was her mentor for years in the summers. And Sally, they're going to help us do this activity. Alan is too. And we're going to talk about what you listen to and listening well. Okay? So you guys are going to sit here for a second as we prepare mouse traps. And these mouse traps are set. Okay. Yeah. And remember, girls, touch them on the V side only. All right. Are y'all ready for this? Because really, it's important who you listen to. If you can't see, you probably need to stand up and move around where you can, because this is going to be pretty challenging in just a minute for somebody. And go ahead, Sally. Sally is going to get blindfolded. And she's barefooted. All right. And I am going to talk to her and tell her where to place her feet. Okay, and she's going to walk. So listen, right? It's important to be able to hear well someone who you trust, right, Sal?
Yes.
Okay, so I want you to take your right foot. Here's what I need you to do. Make a fist with your right hand so you make sure you know what's right and left. Okay, take your right foot and move it forward about 6 inches. No, that's 3 inches. Okay, move your left foot right next to it. Okay, now move your right foot about a foot straight ahead. 1 foot. Pick it up. Move right. Move your right foot forward. Come on, you can do it. And down. No, Donna! Straight ahead, okay. Straight ahead. You kind of went to the left there. Oh, gosh. A little to your right. A little more to your right. Move your foot straight. Move your left foot. Pick it up, your left foot, and move it straight ahead. Whoa! Move it. There, that's good. Now your right foot up and about 6 inches. Yes, she is. No, to your right. Move it to your right. Down. Yeah. Right there. Down. All right, good. Now put your left foot right next to it, only maybe an inch ahead of it. But right next to your left foot. Put your left foot. There you go. Now move your right foot. Slide it to the right about 3 or 4 inches. Keep going. Keep going. Okay, now move it up 4 inches. Okay, now pick your left foot up. Your left foot up. Okay, and you're going to go about a foot and a half. Pick it up high. Hold her hand there, Amanda. She needs somebody. Sometimes you need... There you go. Set it down. Set it down. Now your right foot up. Okay, now down, down, and to your left and forward, 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 down, down. Now your left foot up. All right. Now then put about a foot ahead of where your right foot is, and now then down, and your right foot up, and about 3 inches in front of your left foot, and to your right, and to your right, way to your right. Okay, now then. Okay, now, everybody let go of her hand there, Amanda. Now she's by herself. She's in the wilderness. And here's what I want the rest of you to do now. I'm going to begin to talk to her, but I want all of y'all to talk to her also. And I want you to try to distract her, okay? So here you go, Sal. Ready? Come on. Hear the noise. Come on. We got to hear noise. Loud noise. Move your right foot. Move your right foot forward. 6 inches. To the left. To the right. To the right. To the right. Okay. Now pick your left foot up. And take one giant step right in front of your right foot. One giant step. Okay, now take your right foot and go a giant step. Right foot, giant step. Okay, come all the way with your left foot. All the way. Come big giant step. Giant step. Come on, let's go. All right. Now I'll bring your right foot forward. Yay. Okay. Now we can all sit down and pick up the... Wow. All right. Whoa. Be careful there. Yeah, pick them up on the V side. Throw them in there. We're all going to sit down. So this morning, and we're wondering about what's that all about. So this morning, we're going to just focus on this one scripture, and we're going to have the experience of the mousetraps in our mind, okay? And the scripture is this, Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. All these words. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And when he did that praying, what was that like? You know, last week we talked about his disciples ask him, teach us to pray. And Danny talked about the Lord's Prayer. I think maybe that's where Jesus started. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. And Danny did a great example last week about how we could pray that for a person. And he used Terry Cagle for an example. If you were here, you remember that. And maybe Jesus was doing this too, you know. Lord, my disciples, Peter and Andrew and James and John, they need their daily bread. Let's pray for daily bread. But all night sometimes he prayed. I can't imagine he just prayed just the Lord's Prayer. So I'm thinking maybe it might have been something like this. Because also, isn't it kind of weird to think of Jesus praying to God who they're one? And how did that go down? I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it's like this. Hey, Dad, this is Jesus in a lonely place. He got into a lonely place so the Pharisees wouldn't hear him called God Dad, maybe. I don't know. But hey, Dad, how's it going at home? You know, or Michael and Gabriel, those angels, how's they doing in the Angel Olympics? What's going on at home? And you know, Dad, it's kind of rough down here. We knew it was going to be rough, but I didn't know my guys were going to be so stubborn. Or what? I don't know. But he withdrew to lonely places. And I believe it has to do with him reorienting and remembering who he was, that he also might sing this song, I come to the garden alone. I go out to that lonely place alone. What I want us to think about today is the idea that the lonely place in Luke 5 is what we're going to call solitude. Ruth Haley Barton is a author and leader. As a matter of fact, the reason Jan is in town, she's going to Chicago Monday. Sarah Frazier Miller is going to meet her in Chicago with a group of about 20 or 30 people who are going to sit at the feet of Ruth Haley Barton, the author of this book, which I'm going to tell you about in a little bit later. And they're going to talk about the how to be a transforming community. And Ruth Haley Barton has defined solitude in this way. Solitude is a place in time that is set apart for God and God alone. And again, these are important words. It's a place in time. It's a place in time. It's a moment where we go to some place where we can be with God and God alone. Because there's a lot of distracting voices in our world. And as a matter of fact, that is the enemy of solitude. It's distraction. It prevents us from hearing the voice we need to hear. I kept trying to tell Sally, one giant step, and she couldn't quite. When y'all were yelling at her, I don't know. Could she hear me? Could you hear me say one giant step? And maybe she's just afraid, because after all, I'd already snapped her toe once. I promise you that was an accident. But distractions, we hear distractions, and that's what we often keeps us from hearing the voice we need to hear. We come to the garden alone early in the morning while the dew is still on the roses. So, let's say, why is it important to hear the right voice? Just an example here. Who would you want to hear from? Who would you want to hear from if you had a severe recurring pain in your chest? Cardiologist. Okay, good. Good one. Okay, who would you want to hear from if you inherited $1 million, but you could only receive that after you had invested it for 5 years? An investment banker? No? How about Michelle? Michelle, I got $1 million and I need to invest it. Can you help me with that? No. How about a cardiologist? No. What if you had a loud knocking in your car engine? A cardiologist. Oh, no, no. No. So, it's important to hear the right voice. So, why did Jesus need to withdraw? Why did Jesus need to withdraw? What did he need to hear? You know, Jesus didn't even have a cell phone. He wasn't. You've all had the phantom vibrate? I have. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Jesus didn't have that because, you know, didn't have a cell phone. He wasn't distracted by TV. He wasn't distracted by. He didn't text. He didn't have a Facebook account. He didn't use Twitter. He didn't have email. These things to distract him, and yet he still needed for the noise to stop. Even Jesus needed to withdraw. And so we're going to try this for a moment. Michelle's going to kind of do something with the lights. I mean, not Michelle, but Jeanette, Michelle's mom. Not yet. But this photo? This is a photo of cell phones, which I took up from my camp staff. In 2012, we're having a retreat. We had this cell phone. We had them put all their cell phones here for the whole weekend, and they were always going off, vibrating at the very beginning of the retreat. The students who were training got stuck. I got to get there. Maybe that's mine, you know. And they're just going off, bzz, boom, different rings and stuff. And then eventually, they got used to it. And by we took them up Friday night. By Sunday afternoon, when we gave them back, they're like, I'm not sure I really want that. And then they looked at, I have 122 messages. But Jesus, he didn't have this, but he still went to a place. So we're going to try something even right now, okay? So let's unplug for a moment, even though we're not plugged. We're going to turn down the lights. I'm not going to talk. I just want you to read these on the screen. So when Jesus often withdrew to pray, What did he hear? What did he hear? I believe that looking at the whole story, we might think he heard some things from his father about his identity and about his mission. Because he's hearing all these other voices about his identity and all these other voices about his mission. Sometimes the voices would come from someone like the Pharisees who said, you know, we're going to stone you because you're saying bad things about us. Or it might have even come from someone like Peter who said, no, you'll never do that. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. So he's hearing these voices about who he is and what he's here for. And so maybe he's going to hear from God. What's his identity? What's his mission? Because even we hear distracting voices as well. Today we're going to talk about the identity part. Next week I'm going to talk about the mission part. When we spend time with God and with God alone, we'll hear from God about our identity. And we'll hear about our mission today, identity. I believe Jesus heard this. You're my beloved son. When he went off into the woods or wherever he went to that lonely place, you're my son. I love you. And he was told this several times where other people heard it too, but in the stillness, in the quiet place, he tells me, I am his own. And Jesus, this was the message that Jesus was telling all over too. So you go to the still and quiet place and Jesus hears his father tell him, you're the beloved son. So then that's Jesus comes off the mountain, out of the wilderness to tell others the same thing, maybe the thing they needed to know. So Levi, the tax collector, he says, Levi, the sinner, was a chosen disciple. Jesus is coming. He's heard the word from God in solitude. And so he comes now down among the people and he tells that same word he's heard from God to other people. So Sally, in her class, right? She spent time with God and God alone so she can go tell her students who they really are. Because sometimes they're hearing the word, you're a sinner. And what they need to know is they're chosen disciple. Or maybe it was the crippled woman who was viewed as unclean. And when Jesus talked to her, she was restored as a daughter of Abraham. All the people didn't see her. You know, a daughter of Abraham, that was high praise, but they didn't see her as that. They saw her as a crippled woman, unclean. Or maybe it was Zacchaeus, the outcast, the cheat, the traitor. He was restored as a son of Abraham. Remember who you are? Jesus would say to him, you're a son of Abraham. You're not a traitor. You're a son of Abraham. Your true identity. And so maybe when Kevin is at work, he also is around people who've forgotten who they really are. You're a son of God. Now, you might not come up and say it just straight up, hey, by the way, did you know you're a son of God? But in your actions and your behavior and in your conversation, you treat people as you're a son of God. Or it's the Samaritan. You know, the Samaritan was one of those people. He was one of them, one of that kind. But Jesus said he was the example of love in action. It'd be like us telling us a refugee from Syria. You're not an outcast. You are love in action, if they're practicing love in action. Or maybe it was the prodigal, drunk, sexual pervert, dad hater, but he was a beloved son whose dad threw him a lavish, you know, we've come to love that word lavish, haven't we? He threw him a lavish party, a welcome home party. These are who we really are. And for us to see ourselves through the eyes of God, we've got to spend time with God and God alone. Seeing ourselves through the lens of Jesus, we spend time with him. I'm going to talk about this a little bit in a little while, but right now I just want you to think about what would that be to spend time with God and God alone and hear him say, you're my beloved. He's a good, good father. So it's not that our behavior doesn't matter. You know, in class, we got run over by a bus several times because we read the words of Jesus and sometimes we just don't match up. We don't match up to that. And it's not that sin and rebellion, they don't matter. They do matter to God. Sin and rebellion matter to God. They break God's heart. The cross explains how disgusted and angry God is about sin. Not just our big sins, as if there were such a thing, but God's heart is broken when we sin, when sin takes over our lives. But the cross also explains how much more God's love overcomes his disgust and his anger. It took the cross to show the horrific consequences of sin. But it also was the cross that let us experience God's overwhelming love. When you spend time with God and you're listening to his voice, what he wants you to hear most of all is that you are his beloved son or daughter. And where you hear that is in a lonely place. So I'm suggesting we find those lonely places so that we can hear this voice say, "You're my beloved daughter. You're my beloved son." We're going to stand and sing this song as we focus on God's love for us and prepare our hearts and minds for communion.